Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have one of my favorite guests, to be honest with you, is on the program with me again today, and I made sure he was on the line so he would hear me say that. Chris Miles, welcome back, Chris. How are you?
Hey, glad to be back. How you doing, David?
You're always welcome. Thank you. I'm doing well. Chris is the founder of Money Ripples, and the website for today's program is moneyripples.com, just like it sounds, moneyripples.com. And Chris works very hard on helping people, and you'll see this on his website, helping people find and fix money leaks. I like that. So we've had Chris on a few times talking about different subjects, and today I really like this topic, Chris. Our topic today, ladies and gentlemen, is so much passion, so much purpose, so what? So that's a heck of a title for a discussion. Okay, so I'm going to let you kind of set that up, Chris.
Yeah, obviously, I have been known to be a little bit controversial at times, and I think that title definitely explains that pretty well. But so what I really mean is, and don't get me wrong, I love passion. I think when you're doing your work, whatever that is, if you're in a career, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you really got to love what you do. I mean, you got to love it. I mean, I look at those kind of things as being an absolute must, and so you got to have the passion, right? You got to have a deep desire, because when tough times come, I can guarantee that, you know, it's going to be, when tough times come, you've got to make sure that you're really on board, right? Otherwise, yeah, you're just going to give up. When the going gets tough, you're just going to give up, right?
That's right. I mean, that's what being an entrepreneur is all about. And if anybody thinks they can be an entrepreneur without ever expecting to have those tough times, then they're going to be real disappointed and surprised, because it's probably in the original definition or the creation of the word entrepreneur is probably another language for you're going to get your butt kicked a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, so don't get me wrong, passion is very, very vital, and I don't think you can do without it. But at the end of the day, passion alone will never do it for you.
That's a good point, because I think a lot of times, you know, there is that whole idea of the grass is greener, and I'm going to leave my job, and I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and I'm going to do this, and I'm tired of working for the man. I'm tired of somebody telling me what to do. I'm going to go do this, and I love this, and I want to do it. And if I love something enough, and I go and do it, that's enough. And yeah. I get where you're headed here, Chris. It's not enough, is it? You got to really, you can't just be passionate. That's not enough. You can be passionate and be broke.
That's right. And I've met a lot of passionately broke people because you know, the whole do what you love and the money will follow is really a bunch of crap in and of itself, the statement itself, right?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, definitely doing what you love, that others love you doing, and especially if you do it well, then the money will follow.
Yeah, so it's not, okay, I like that. That's an excellent, it's not that it's not loved, it's just it better be loved by somebody besides you.
Right, because anytime we make money, I mean, last I checked, I mean, the only time I've ever got paid is when it comes from somebody else's bank account. Right.
That's true, because, well, now, if you are the Federal Reserve, you can do that little thing where you do the data entry and add a couple $1 trillion to our total currency.
That's a few zeros and you're all good, right?
Yeah, the only place that happens without getting it from somebody else. You're exactly right.
Yeah, it's like adding like 10 parts water to your orange juice, and because it just looks orange, you say, oh, it's just the same nutritional value, right?
Well, we know that's not true. So yeah. So that's the setup then. So it's two things, I think. It's not just that you are the only one that loves it. Other people really need to see a value in what you do, and really you are indispensable to them. You're not a commodity to them, because if it's a commodity, they're going to seek out the lowest price, and then that's a whole other type of business. Right. And then the other thing is it's got to be something where they are willing to open their wallet and pay you, and it's also that you can not just be attractive as a value proposition, but that you have to run your business well.
Right.
I mean, so it's not just that you're passionate about that you love it, but that other people love it. They're willing to part with money. But then once you get that money, you've got to be really smart so that you keep that money.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's definitely do what you love. And the money can follow if, you know, one, it's valuable to other people. And then two, you got the right mindset and the skill sets to go along with it. You know, I've seen people sabotage themselves so often in business. I mean, people that are very passionate about what they do. And the reason I see that end up being broke is because, one, they don't have the right mindset because, you know, they have this poverty type of mindset. They start to believe in different things that, you know, it ranges from, I don't know if I'm really deserve to have money, or
Oh, Chris, you nailed it. Oh, I got to put my 2 cents in there. I was waiting to see if you're going to say this. I think one of the things that this is one, I'm going to write a book on this someday. I'm going to write a book called 267 Things They Don't Teach You in Business School. And here's one of them. They don't teach you that it's okay to be successful. And I think somehow people become an entrepreneur. And I had to do this myself early on. I had to say, David, it's okay to be successful because there's part of us, for whatever reason, that we don't give ourselves permission to be successful. And if we don't do that, then we're going to even maybe subconsciously sabotage ourselves.
Absolutely. 100% true. I mean, that's happened with people all the time, is that it's almost like they're worried so much about what other people might think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you why you think that is.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's that wondering what how other people would view us if we are successful. Would they look down on us because they're jealous or envious?
Yeah.
And you know, people often ask the question, well, who am I to be successful, right? Why should I be more successful than the other person?
Mm.
It's not fair. And the reality is that, life isn't fair, but it's just. We reap what we sow, right? And and a lot of times, people will be at different places, and we see different results in people's lives, even especially financially. And some people, when they get a little bit of money, they sabotage it, and then they lose it quickly thereafter.
How about that? That's something. Chris Miles is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, moneyripples.com. And we will take a short break and we'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
We're back with Chris Miles, moneyripples.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we do not rehearse our agreement about some of these topics that Chris and I are talking about. It's funny that he and I are on the same page often when we get together for these discussions, and they turn out being more of conversations, and then we're happy you're eavesdropping on that conversation. I think that we'll move on, Chris, but I think that's really important for those business owners and people that are thinking about being a business owner or an entrepreneur or somebody, even if they look at their job as being an entrepreneur, and there's a lot of times people think that way. It's okay to be successful, and don't be guilty or feel that way, and look at it as being successful will allow you to help others be successful or help those that are in a position where they just are going to have the cards stacked against them.
Right.
So what's next? I guess once, let's say we're kind of going through a process here. Let's say that people are past that point and they're beyond that. They love what they do. How do they focus in on making sure that what they're doing isn't just loved by them, but it's loved by others?
That's a great question. I would say this, is that, you got to ask yourself, what problem are you solving? Now, I can see that there might be two different types of listeners here listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
One might be the person working for a company, and the other might be an entrepreneur. The person who works for the company, definitely you're solving a problem for your company. And the reason you get paid a salary that you do is because they believe that the value you're bringing is worth more than what they pay you.
Yeah, because if you're not, you're not going to be there.
Exactly, yeah. Because if they believe it's worth less, or you're worth less than what they're paying you, you won't have a job very long.
Yeah, and I have 12 people that work for me, Chris, and every single one of them is essential. They are essential to what I do, and I can't do it without them. So they are worth every dollar that they receive in compensation and benefits and all of that, because that's the value, that's the deal, right? I mean, that's why they're here.
Yeah, I call those people intrapreneurs.
Mm.
Because they work inside a company. They may not be outside, working by themselves, so to speak, but they're working inside a company, even within a system, and it's hugely, hugely valuable. And so definitely you got to make sure you see where your value is and what the person that you work for you values the most. To give you an example on that, because when I used to work for corporate America, I worked a job, and even after 5 years, got my little $20 watch, things like that, right? And when I worked for them, and I was actually doing customer service, and I remember just thinking, oh my goodness, I can't get any more skill sets to get a raise. And I remember feeling very entitled to it. And I believe entitlement is one of the things that's destroying this country. It's because people believe that, hey, I deserve this. It's like, well, no, maybe not. you know, are you really entitled to anything in life, really?
Well, you're not, you maybe not entitled, but maybe you might justify. You said, you know, our society is just, or compensation and success can be just. Maybe yes. if you've earned it, you are then deserving, but entitlement, no.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. And so, I mean, because I know there's a lot of people that feel underappreciated, and I felt the same way. And see, back in my more entitled days, you know, when mm-hmm. I felt more entitled, I would just think, oh, they should just recognize my efforts. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I should be paid more. I'm worth more than this. But the reality is, if I keep taking the paycheck every single couple weeks, I was really saying, no, I'm worth less than whatever they're paying me in the given circumstances, right? But I one thing I told one of my clients, I said, you know, because he was in a similar situation, I told him, you know, let's flash back here. I said, if I were in your shoes, instead of feeling entitled, I would actually go to your manager and ask them, what could I do to offer more value that would merit me a raise?
See, isn't that a logical way of approaching it?
Very.
I like
much
that.
Better. In fact, it worked for him. In fact, after over a year and a half, he had gotten about six different raises. His income went up 80%.
Wow.
Just by having that kind of attitude and always working to do it. He was trying to fulfill on it. And then, of course, the manager said, well, I got to keep my word here. And he would even tell him, all right, well, no more raises. But then a promotion or a job opening would come up when he would apply for that job and then get it inside the company. And
that's funny. That's
and
good.
That's the thing is that and that's a lot of mindset. That's a little bit of skill set, too. And that's why you got to have both, because mindset's one thing, but you got to have the right skills. And so even working as an entrepreneur, you got to make sure you're developing your skills within that company to become more valuable and therefore get paid more.
Yeah, and the same, though, of course, the same applies for the entrepreneur when you flip it to the outside.
Exactly.
Now instead of it being the company that they're demonstrating value to or with them, that now it's the retail, or their customers for the business.
Yeah, I love being an entrepreneur because you get real-time feedback. Because in a company, it could take months or even years before you realize that you're laid off and you didn't know why, but it was actually things that led up to that point. As an entrepreneur, if you're messing things up, you know, because you don't get paid.
Yeah, that happens really fast.
It does. And that's good. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, that's why I signed up for it. I know a lot of us have, is that we want that freedom and control and be able to have that control of our destiny, right?
Very true.
And
very true.
And so as an entrepreneur, it's a little bit tougher because your skill sets now has to becoming a CEO of your company. You got to understand operations. You got to know how to make things run inside of a company, all the nitty-gritty details a lot of us hate. You got to understand marketing to some level, and sales. You got to understand the ability to build your financials. I mean, obviously, you got to know your numbers, because I've seen a lot of people, especially when most people I coach are entrepreneurs. It's amazing how many of them don't know their numbers, and that's their biggest stressor.
Mm.
And that's where they usually leak the most money, is because they just don't know what's happening.
Very good.
So knowing all those things, I mean, just getting on top of it and doing your own PR and everything else, all that has to be done. Granted, some can be delegated, but ultimately, you're responsible, and you got to be accountable for what's happening in those different areas. And so you got to make sure you speak the language of the different departments. You got to be able to know the language well enough that you know you're not just blind to what's happening, even though you don't have to become the expert in every single area.
Very good, Chris. Chris Miles is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, moneyripples.com. Quick break, we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Miles has joined us, a repeat guest and a very good guest, I might add. And Chris, we kind of left off, just to kind of bring people up to speed and get all on the same page. First talked about being passionate about what you're doing, if somebody's going to be a business owner or an entrepreneur. And then also that it's not enough for you to love it. You need to make sure that your clients love it or you're not going to have a business. And so, you know, that's part of figuring out what problem you're solving, what are you doing, and how is that different and better and of more value, making yourself indispensable and creating that love on the part of the client for what you do. And then you're just getting into, before the break, the next piece, which is really so critical, knowing how to do the business. So, for example, with what I do, I'm a financial planner. Well, there's two pieces to having a financial planning firm. One is being really good at financial planning, and having that, creating that love that our clients have for what we do. But then there's the part of running that financial planning practice. Those are two completely different things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you got to know how to deliver on your product, right? Or on your service.
But then you've also got to make sure that you have, and this is why I have the team I have, because I don't do the parts that take away from my providing that financial planning service to my clients. You know, there's compliance, there's regulatory stuff, there is billing, there is accounting, there is insurance, there is health insurance, there is technology. There are all of these other things that are part of running a business that if I spent my time on those, I would not have as much time as I do on the financial planning function. And I took a poll. My client said, David, we want you to spend your time either talking to us or looking at what you're doing for us.
Right. I'm glad you brought that point up because that's so important, especially as an entrepreneur. You know, and to kind of go along with this subject, it really is about passion and skill set along with the mindset. You really want to find people to work with you that are more passionate about that area than you are, right? And hopefully more brilliant.
Well, now that part is the easy part, okay?
The brilliant part,
yeah. I'll give you a couple of easy examples, and this helps people understand how this works. Lisa, who's running the board right now for us, she just turned and gave me an eye roll. She better, and thank God she is, much, much better at this technology than I am. She keeps our telephone systems working. She keeps the radio working. She has a website. She's helping me with a lot of things like that. I also have a CFA, a chartered financial analyst that works for my company, Scott, and he better know investments better than I do, and he does. Now, I know a lot about him, but he has taken it to another level, so all he does all day long is look at the investments in the market. So, see, that's specialization. Now, I know I can do a pretty good job of talking to Lisa about what she does, and I can talk to Scott about what he does, but they should be better than I am in those areas.
That's right. And that's what makes it so worthwhile for that exchange, because I really believe that through exchange, we create wealth. It's when we exchange value with each other, and especially when it's good value, all of us become wealthier as a result.
Well, right? Isn't that the old saying that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that synergistic relationship, right, that creates something new and exciting. And you're probably going to hate me, David, after this. You may not invite me back just because, you know, Lisa's going to come up to you and say, "So, David, what do I have to do to merit a raise?"
You know what? Actually, it's a very simple formula in our company. It's a two-part formula. They need to demonstrate merit, and then we have to have profits. So it's a real simple thing. So now everybody knows, and Lisa especially knows, that what we need to do and what each of them need to accomplish to help me move the company forward with what we want to do in terms of providing services to clients. No. You won't be in trouble at all because they all know the value proposition that we all have.
See, fantastic. Just like you said, this is even scripted. We just guessed on this, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, I think it's because we're speaking of something that I think must be true about how business is done, and it obviously spills over into other parts of life with relationships and, you know, all of those things. You know, if you have the friend who's a parasite, you know, that always has a problem, you always have to listen to their problem. That's not going to be a relationship that works because one person is taking from the other without giving back. There is no synergy.
That's right. There's got to be that exchange, and there's got to be value given from both parties.
We're going to do a little give here and take one more quick break. Chris Miles, our guest. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, moneyripples.com. We'll be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we are back with Chris Miles. He is creator and founder of Money Ripples, and the website is moneyripples.com. He helps people figure out how to fix financial leaks in their situation, does a lot of coaching of entrepreneurs and business owners. And Chris, you're right. I spoke too soon. Lisa hit me up on the break. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, she's good. In fact, we're working on a special project I'm not allowed to tell anybody about because she says, don't tell them yet because we're not done. But we're going to be coming out with something pretty cool in a couple of months that she has been demonstrating her value to my organization daily by working on that. No pressure, Lisa. All right, Chris. So we've just got a couple minutes left here. So it's about that synergistic relationship, symbiotic relationship between the employer and the employee, but also it's the same thing with the business owner and their customer, right?
Absolutely. I think the important principle to remember is that dollars follow the value you create for other people.
Yeah, and I think the thing, and I have to give you another example. I had a person come in a couple days ago to meet with me, and they told me flat out, said, I know so-and-so that has met you and recommended I see you. And she said right up front, she goes, I'm interviewing a couple of other financial people. And so we talked, and you know what I did, to be real candid, is I knew one of them. I didn't know the other financial person, but as she described what she was looking for, I said, well, as you were talking to me, you know, are you looking at what you need and then kind of comparing what each of us financial people, what each of us could deliver to you? And what I realized as I talked to her, she needed not only tax planning, but she needed some financial planning. She needed help rolling over some money she was getting from her employer when she retired. She needed to do some things that were more growth oriented with that, but also some money that would give her income. So it was kind of a mix of what she needed. Now, I knew I could give her all of that. And so as I talked, I could, you know, kind of distinguish that from my competitors. And it was a perfect example of what you're getting at about showing that value for then her to view me as indispensable.
Right.
Well,
absolutely.
Chris, I just like to have you come on the program and agree with me. So thanks. Thanks for doing that. Chris Miles, ladies and gentlemen, moneyripples.com. Chris, we're out of time. We're going to have to do this again.
I agree.
All right. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk again soon.
Talk to you soon.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.